Welcome to Your Funeral Coach Talks, a bi-monthly podcast hosted by Lisa Bowie, founder of Your Funeral Coach, a consulting and mentoring company serving the funeral, cremation, and cemetery profession. Listen in today to the Elevating Women in Funeral Service series as she interviews thought leaders and difference makers in her profession.
Welcome, listeners. We're here today as part of our Women in Leadership series, and I have a very special guest joining me that I met at the Professional Women's Conference in San Antonio, Texas, sponsored by NFDA and the Funeral Service Foundation. So Megan Coyle, welcome, Megan. Glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here, Lisa. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Megan, I found out in visiting with her at lunch one day that she is a fifth-generation owner of the Coyle Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Now, Megan continues in her company's over 134-year history, which is just amazing. And I believe you've been serving families in the Northwest Ohio city of Toledo for 135 years. Congratulations. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Are you, I got a question for you. Are you the first woman president of the company?
I am. I'm the first woman president. I'm the first female licensed funeral director in our company history. So lots of firsts there.
Lots of firsts. This is really awesome. It only took them 134 years, right? You know, our profession moves a little slow sometimes, but we get there eventually. And I'm just glad we're living in an era where women are accepted and women are part of ownership and leadership today. So congratulations to you. And we're excited to have you. So you're licensed in Ohio. You're also a funeral insurance agent, licensed agent. And you are a mom of two wonderful young people. And they are, let's see, Kate and George, I believe, and they're 22 and 19. Yes. So they're kind of out of the house, but you raised these babies while you were also the owner of this very busy business. Let me read a little bit more about you to our listeners, because I think it's amazing what you've accomplished. So Megan has received national accolades for her work in pre-need planning, including recognition by Physicians Mutual Pre-need Leaders Conference for the President's Award, and number one in the nation in the lowest average age and payment plans 4 years in a row. Congratulations. That's hard to do. She's been honored by the Outlook Pre-Need Marketing Group and Precoa with numerous achievements, especially the Peer Award 2 years in a row as well. And is one of the 20 recipients of the prestigious 20 Under 40 Leadership Recognition Awards in Toledo in 2011. So she also belongs to a lot of different local organizations. And Megan, I don't know how you have time for this, but I guess when the kids are grown, you can do a little bit more. But man, this is huge. So you're a member of the University of Toledo Family Business Center. You're previously a board member of the Eberle Center for Women Advisory Board, the Women's Entrepreneurial Network, the Context Nation Certified Business Network, Society of Financial Professionals, Perrysburg Community Support Farming Agriculture, St. Luke's Hospital Advisory Board, serving as their chairperson, and the Ohio Living Swan Creek Retirement Campus Advisory Board. That is a long, long word, but it's super cool that you belong to all these different things. And you've recently joined the Upper Ring Networking Group for Women in Leadership Roles, as well as a BNI organization, Perrysburg Chapter. So, and now you're directing your company to do Cell Phone for Soldiers campaign, which I think we may have to talk about because I think that's a wonderful thing, where they provide cell phones for soldiers. It's a national nonprofit dedicated to providing these prepaid telephone calling cards for our troops overseas. And of course, you love to do all kinds of things we're going to hear about in your spare time to have a little more work-life balance, including Bikram yoga, Bikram. Did I say that right? I don't know if I did.
Bikram. Yep. Hot. Organic. It's just hot yoga.
Bikram. Okay. I haven't done that. Oh, that's that hot yoga. Yes, I know about that. Oh, that's hard work. Boy, hot yoga. Organic cooking. Well, anyway, you do so many things, and I don't know how you have time for all this, but welcome, and tell us a little bit more about yourself and the things you love to do most of all these things you do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lisa. It's so fun to be on a podcast. I love being able to do different things, even though every day in funeral service is very different and enjoyable in its own way. Just a side note, a lot of these organizations, it's not like I do all of them right now. I've had plenty of really beautiful networking opportunities in my 30s and my 40s, and now I'm in my early 50s. And so it's been a joy to be able to get to know the community and serve the community through those types of organizations. It's also been really helpful for me to grow professionally and specifically as a woman by becoming more involved with other women professional leaders in different businesses and industries, just because there weren't a lot, if any, women role models for me as I was growing up, so to speak, in this industry. So that's why I'm just thrilled to get to know you and be a part of the Women's Professional Conference and all the sharp women from PRCOA. So yeah, life is very busy and I take a lot of deep breaths. And that's why things like hot yoga and healthy eating are important, so that I can continue to show up every day and try to be the best version of myself. So I do enjoy those things. I mean, thankfully, I was raised by a very holistic, healthy parents, and that was a real strong value in our family, to take good care of yourself, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually too. So those have been really good foundational points for me. And I've tried to share that with my kids and my business networking friends and even my staff. So yeah, those are things I'm passionate about.
Well, good for you. I mean, funeral service is hard enough. And if we don't eat right, you know, this is always a challenge, you know, like going out on funerals and having no lunch breaks, and you're packing your own lunch from home, because otherwise you'll just end up chowing down on the fast food kind of thing. And that is not good for us at all. So good for you for finding that. You know, when I was growing up too, I'm about 10 years ahead of you, there was one organization in our entire community called Business and Professional Women. And that's the only place that I actually had women like me that were in the business world. There were very few of us in the St. Charles County community, as I'm sure you found in Toledo. And out in funeral service, when you went to your state conventions and your national conventions, how many women were there back when you first started? Like two?
Yeah, or one. I mean, I saw them on the vendor side, but rarely were they colleagues sitting in the chairs next to me. So I always felt a little outnumbered and honestly a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I felt that as well. And so now today you walk into a room of 150 women at the Professional Women's Conference. And isn't it such a joy to be around women of all generations and women who have paid their dues and young women coming into our profession? You can learn so much from each other. And it's just, it's a wonderful feeling. And now when you go to state and national conventions, women are everywhere. So this is good to hear. But some of them are having some struggles. And I really wanted to interview you because of your belief in organic cooking and holistic, just your holistic way of living. I think this is something that all of us can learn to do better, and especially in funeral service, because it's such a stressor at times. And, you know, sleep is hard sometimes, and just eating the right things is hard. And so let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, you have some wellness goals, I think, some wellness things that you do. Tell me more about what you do. Like, what's your daily routine when things get busy at the funeral home? How do you find time for that work-life balance?
Oh, that's the magical question of all women and all professions. Yes, work-life balance, first of all, it doesn't really exist. Some days you work a whole lot, and other days you get to take some deep breaths and recharge your battery and be at home with your family or doing things that you love to do outside of work. So I just strive for, it's almost like I have this inner feeling that I know when I'm on, when I feel really good, when I'm focused. So it's been really important to me, especially as I've gotten older, to take the time to meditate. And that was a gift I gave myself probably 5 years ago for my birthday. I took a weekend meditation training course, and something my parents had been encouraging me to do for a long time. I brought my then husband at the time and my early teens. My daughter did take the meditation class, But anyway, that that to me really sets the tone for how I want to show up in that day. And I find, like, I tell myself it's my recharging of my cell phone battery. And in the morning, it's just a really helpful tool to focus on what I want to have in and around my life, what I want my day to look like. So for an example, it might be today I want the right people to show up for me so that I can help them for their highest good and my highest good. And that's pretty general, but I never know what's going to happen with my pre-need appointments or what new death calls we're going to get in or whatever the case may be. So I just try to really put that out to the universe. And that's how I start my day. I also have a whole cabinet full of supplements and vitamins. I love to have the time to work out in the morning. That's not an everyday thing. But either it's that hot yoga or today I did a little boot camp class, which is just kind of lifting weights and stuff like that. So I just love that happy exercise endorphin feeling. And that always helps me feel better throughout the day too.
Feels better. So you wake up in the morning about what time?
I wake up about 6. I don't necessarily always get out of bed at 6. Sometimes I don't get out of bed till 7. But part of my routine in the morning is I look at my dashboard of emails and texts and my answering service for directors portal and just make sure I'm on task for what I need to. And I do discipline myself to pack a lunch. And sometimes that lunch literally is 2 green smoothies or some power bars and an apple, because you're right, time runs out and I know I'm going to be going all day long. And I know what happens if I don't fuel myself well, and I don't want to crash and burn. So I don't think I've been to a fast food restaurant in decades. I do have a glass of wine at night.
Can I give you my husband?
Part of the therapy.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yes, and there's a lot of research on that glass of wine and how good it is for you and opens up your arterial systems. And there was a lady I remember seeing that they interviewed in France, and she was in her 101, and they asked her about the key to longevity, and she had a glass of wine every single night religiously. And I thought, oh, that sounds nice. I like that. So tell me a bit more about the meditation. You meditate in the morning as well as you exercise. So you start with your intentions. Are you still hanging out in bed? Do you get up in a special chair? Do you go to a special place? And then how long does your meditation last?
Sure. So I practice what's called TM, or transcendental meditation. And it is 20 minutes. And ideally, it's twice a day in the morning and then maybe around the 4 to 6 o'clock time frame. And it is best to sit up straight just so you have that alignment, which is truly where the energy and the breath really helps to focus and totally slow down your nervous system. And that is real true rest. I mean, there's so much really interesting science and research that's been on meditation and intentional meditation that it's almost like you can't not do it. And I'm not perfect and I don't do it every single morning, but I can totally tell a difference when I do, because I just feel more present. I feel like I can be with people, like really, truly be with them and be present for them, which is such a gift in funeral service. People just need to be heard. And that's been really one of the strongholds of being able to do this, is that it centers myself in a space where I can be very calm while everyone around me is in their personal thunderstorm of a death of someone. And I get a lot of compliments on that, because it's just, I welcome people to come in and let me just, you can just unleash on me and I'll be here for you. And it doesn't affect me.
That's
like
awesome.
I don't take it in.
Sure.
That's what I've come to
appreciate. So you set that precedence in advance. Right. Do you have music going on in the background? Do you put some kind of sound? Obviously, you close your eyes. You have some kind of questions and things and set your intentions. Give us an example of what a short meditation would look like. I think we have a little time. I think this would be very beneficial for our readers to understand how to meditate, because, you know, there's apps for that. You can find them on your phone. But is it really, you know, what works for you is different, I'm sure, for everybody. However, what is the best way to just get in a quick meditation? Is there such a thing? Is it 2 minutes? Is it 7 minutes? Is it 10 minutes?
Sure. Any and all of those are wonderful ways to, in essence, you give yourself that little gift of love and time. And it's 2 minutes you have. And sometimes that's what I have. Or 5 minutes where you can just really be quiet and sit down and close your eyes and take some deep breaths. And in the training I took for transcendental meditation, there is no music. You just have a mantra that your teacher gives you, and you just repeat it over and over. And it's just very easy. It's just effortless. So that's what the TM is. But I also have some wonderful apps that I will listen to. Sometimes I play them in my car, and it's more like intentions. For example, I have I've had a spiritual coach or a trainer for this last year, and she is absolutely wonderful. And every month we do our own group podcast. And so this past month, we were focusing on manifesting money and looking at what our beliefs are about money and what holds us back about money. And that money is just in and of itself green paper. But what does that give you? And so she's put together some really cool meditations to listen to, whether you're driving or power walking or sitting quietly, that really affirm and ask for the universe to bring you money, to bring you prosperity, to bring you abundance. And to me, that is also freedom. And time, that's what I can use money for. I can use money for creating really good work in the world, you know, whether it's here locally or donation to something, or maybe it's a new, some jewelry or something. But it's just really how you feel about the prosperity. And so that's the fun part, is that it allows you, I guess, on a broad level, you can, if you can sit for 10 minutes, your mind and your body and your soul will definitely benefit. And you can be quiet or you can listen to music. It's very helpful to take lots of deep breaths. And so there's even guided meditations. I've got lots of them. So I mix it up a little bit.
Do you have any in particular? You have any in particular you just absolutely love and you use on a consistent basis you could share?
Sure.
I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, it's fun. A couple of my favorite apps, I've been using the Law of Attraction app. And that's something that our spiritual coach has suggested for all these women in this, we call it our magic manifestation group. It's like a mastermind group, if you will. So the Law of Attraction, it's based on the teaching of Abraham and Esther Hicks, and they are absolutely fascinating to listen to. They're pretty world famous, but they just talk about your focus of what you think about and how you feel is what you're going to bring into your life. And so those are some of the meditations or just teachings that I'll listen to. Even if I'm just getting ready in the morning and putting on my makeup, getting dressed, I'll just put that on for a little 15-minute spiritual vibrational raise, if you will. Let's see.
I love
use the Gaia app. I'm going to cheat.
Spell that. G-I-A?
G-A-I-A. Gaia. It's a spiritual, it's a TV channel. Gaia. Yeah. But they have a neat app.
Nice.
There's actually a TV show or a TV channel that you can buy. It's like $10 a month and it's all things holistic, all things spiritual, lots of cool stuff from Dr. Joe Dispenza and Wayne Dyer and people that have gone on spiritual explorations in history. And I don't know. I don't find there's a lot of good TV programming right now out there. So these are the kinds of things I like to tune into when I get to veg on the couch.
You know, I love that because I tell you what, my husband loves to watch, you know, these series on whatever they are, HBO Max or, you know, Hulu or whatever they are. But sometimes they're just so violent. And in funeral service, gosh, we deal with in trying helping people that have had very violent experiences in their lives and the death of their loved one. And I make them turn them off. This is just not something I need to listen to or watch. You know, that's something that was part of my life and my career. I need something calm. You know, I want a good romance, a good, well, we watched Outlander. you know, one of the Outlanders coming back this year, and it was good.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But
that's
there were
juicy.
Parts of Outlander in the past that, yeah, it is. There were parts of Outlander that wasn't so great. And we watch Yellowstone.
Yeah.
But there's a little violence in some of that. And I just get up and walk out of the room. So it's not for me, but it's not for everybody. Well, this is so cool. I mean, talking to you, I feel calm right now. I mean, I just feel you have this energy that is so lovely, that is putting off this sense of calmness. And I wish that for the next generations to come up behind us, because life is so fast paced and I think we need to slow it down a little bit. Let's talk about, you have some goals for your personal side and dealing with stress. I just love this topic that we're on right now. It's right, has to do for me, very much has to do with the future of funeral service. What kind of goals are you setting for Megan for the next few years in your personal life? And then we'll talk about professional.
Okay, sure. Personal, I am trying to slow down. I mean, when you were reading my bio, I was thinking to myself, I was a crazy woman, feeling like I had to do all those things. And then I had all these little kidded obligations, which were wonderful and joyful. But I remember feeling like a tornado at the end of every day. And so one of my goals, now that my kids are 19 and 22, is to slow down and to find that the time that I spend, I want it to be intentional and I want it to be meaningful. And so I have a real fun habit of making a vision board. And this year on my vision board, I wanted to do more public speaking. And I put that out to the universe.
Oh, hold on. I should have asked you to bring this. Hold on a second. All right, here we go. So every year, my girlfriend and I do these vision boards. And I know you can do it electronically.
Yeah.
And we get magazines and we answer a series of questions. And then I take photographs so I can keep it with me and on my screen sets and everything. But it's so much fun. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think vision boards help you identify where you want to go, where you want to be, who you want to be, and how, and then you got to figure out how you're going to get there. But this is just an example of one that I did not too a couple years ago. So you do a new one every year. I love that. That's awesome.
Yes. Or every other year. And it's for, I mean, I used to do them in my 20s and I called them treasure maps, which was something that came out of the Unity School of the spiritual thinking. And it was much more business focused and goal focused and income. And I wanted to have this black SUV and I wanted a house with beautiful lighting and flowers. And I look back at these treasure maps that I made in my early 20s and every single thing on there, I manifested in my life. I drove around a black SUV, had a beautiful house.
Yep.
It did. I hit every single goal. It was fun. So some of my personal goals are more of how I want to feel and how I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned again through this meditation and my spiritual coach is that when you get into the alignment of how you want to feel, that's how the universe brings these things to you. So I want to feel more focused and meaningful and intentional and less like crazy busy, like, my 30s and 40s. And I want my time when I'm at work to be very focused on the things that make a difference to people. I'm still setting up chairs and scrubbing toilets and picking up the cigarette butts in the driveway, because if I'm going to ask my staff to do that, I'm going to do it too. But that's not my everyday thing. That, yeah.
But you're leading by example, and I love that.
Yeah, thank you. And one of my goals is to slow down. And the other one, which seems kind of philosophical, but it's really challenging, is to try to be more in the moment. Instead of always thinking about what's next, what's on the to-do list, or what did I do yesterday that was wrong? I've had a bad habit of criticizing myself my whole life, and I'm trying to just stop and appreciate and be grateful for my healthy body, that I still have hair in my head, you know, that I can walk, I can breathe, that I'm alive. And of course, being around funeral service definitely is a good checkup every day that, be nice to yourself. If you can't be nice to yourself, it's going to be really challenging to be nice to other people. And I don't want to be fakey about it. It has to be real and genuine. Yeah. Other than that,
that's awesome.
You know, that, my kids. Go ahead.
No, keep going. I love it.
Oh, so that was my little spiritual rant. But I love to travel, and
I haven't
been able to do that so much. But now that my kids are, one's just graduated from college, the other one's going to college, I have a little bit more time and a little bit more money. So I just got certified to be a scuba diver. So that's on the bucket list / travel plan.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that was on my... I am as well.
Oh,
I
good.
Have probably a little over 120 dives in, but I have, but then I married this guy from Colorado and we have horses and a little ranch. And so the diving kind of took the back seat. I miss it a lot. So I can't get him. He likes to snorkel a little bit. And I love the feel of a warm ocean and just looking at the fish. It's so calming. So you're going to love diving. So good for you. You got certified. Thank Where are you going to go next? Is it on your vision board for the year?
Thank you. Oh, totally. Yes. So my vision board has the goal of trying to do a little trip every month. And a little trip might be going to visit a college girlfriend who I can drive to. But this year, it's already booked. I already bought tickets, and it's not till November, but it's a trip to Cayman Brac, which is a little island in the Grand Caymans. There's a dive shop here that organizes all these trips. Yeah, so it's really easy.
Yes.
You just put your name on the list, you give them some money, and it's all figured out for you. That's the kind of travel I like. So it's wonderful.
I've been diving in the Caymans.
So looking forward to that.
Beautiful walls there to dive. Yes. Oh, you're going to so enjoy. I want to see pictures. You'll have to post them on my Facebook and let me see them and send them to me. Cayman Brac is a beautiful little island from what I understand. And it kind of is on my bucket list. I have to figure that one out. So find the time, right?
Okay. Where's your favorite place?
I am so excited to talk to you. Oh, you know, I'm torn because I've been to the Turks and Caicos and the Providenciales, and the water there is so beautiful. I've been in their fingers. They have a beautiful wall to dive on. And then I've been to the Caymans. So I'm going to bet if I went to Cayman Brac that I would find that to be my favorite place. I've heard a lot of people say that. The Caymans are just lovely. So those two are probably my favorites. I do like Cozumel sometimes because you can do some drift diving. So if you're with the right company, you don't want to go on one of these big boats where there's dozens of you know, people, but you can just float and the drifting just takes you across the structures and it's just like an aquarium below you and you see so much.
That's so cool.
So I would recommend Cozumel. Be sure you're in good shape because there are some currents. Be sure you know which places to go and which dive companies. That would be my recommendation for any divers in Cozumel because it can be a little tricky out there. There's some great wrecks out there that you can dive. Are you Nitrox certified yet?
I am. Yep. Yeah, we did some pretty cool dives Nitrox, in Bonaire and Honduras too. So pretty fascinating.
Well, gosh, you've already been to some lovely places. I hear Bonaire is amazing. All right, let's talk a little bit before we have to say goodbye to everybody, but I want to hear a couple of things. First of all, what book are you? Are you a reader? Do you like reading? Do you like podcasts?
Yeah.
It sounds like you get information from everywhere. Do you have a book that you would recommend to our listeners that really, something that you believe will help them in their roles in funeral service and just as a business person in general?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Have to give my sister credit, Katie Coyle Todd. These are some of her favorite books, and I read them over the course of the last 3 years. And they're a series of books by Dr. Michael Newton, and they're called The Journey of Souls and The Life Between Life. Mm. And it is the most fascinating stories. So he's a researcher and a doctor, and he masters hypnosis. So he's had thousands of cases of people he hypnotizes to go back through past lives and talk about their soul's journey when they leave the earth and go up to this heaven and what is it like for that soul. And they meet with other soul groups. So it's a little inkling of like Celestein prophecy, but this is like legit research. And I've got the audiobooks, I've got the books, I can't get enough of it because it's something that people grapple with. Wow. And we get to hear about it every yes. day. Like, is death awful? Is this the end of everything? And this research says absolutely not, that our soul is our essence and it goes on. And it's so comforting, I guess, for me, especially since I lost my dad last year,
yes.
that he's still with right. all of us. And with
yes,
so many other amazing spiritual beings, like my grandparents, who I love, that they're, you know, people don't, this is not the end when our physical form just decides not to work anymore. And for me, I guess it was just, first of all, a personal comfort, but then it's so fascinating. And I don't know about you, but families have told me thousands of stories about their own little wink winks yes. or nudges or yes. symbolisms from the people that have died that have come back to give them a message, to give them a little brush that say, I'm okay, to give them their own guidance about things that they're worried about in their life. That it's just without a shadow of a doubt, we know that our people are still with us, not in their physical form, and that we will be with them again when we decide to leave planet Earth. And that the other thing that's so fascinating mm-hmm. about this book is that, and here's what I just think is crazy cool. We all agree to incarnate and be a part of everything that happens to us. Like our soul says, here's what I got to learn on this journey. I'm going to have a relationship with this person and this challenging thing is going to happen to me. And I'm going to have the ability to raise these two amazing kids who chose me as their mom. And I just find that so interesting. That everything that happens to us happens because it had to, we agreed upon it. And therefore for me, it's helped me not be so negative or tied to, oh God, this is awful. This life sucks. I can't believe this is horrible. It's a readjustment of my thinking. Like, okay, what do I need to learn from this? What are the gifts of what's happening right now, as crazy, terrible as it is, or just get rid of any adjectives to it. This is happening right now. How can I be?
I love this.
What do I learn from this?
I absolutely love this.
I love, so those books I'd recommend to everybody, because death is a universal experience. I mean, he just asks and addresses a lot of these major issues that people, he addresses when does a spirit come into a little baby fetus? He talks about that through all of his casework. All the way till when people die and what happens to them and how they reflect back on all their life choices and things that happened. And it's not, there's no religion to it. There's no anything about God, or it's just all his research. And so I think it's very neutral in the way he delivers that information. I think that's important for a lot of people because there's some pretty heated topics around this stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I believe that in funeral service, we have to have some understanding or belief that there is life after this physical life here on this earth. Otherwise, how do we help people go forward? Because we're around death all the time. I'm so excited to hear about this. I think this will really help those that are listening to look more into Dr. Michael Newton and his journey of work. I personally have had experiences like that after my mother died, and I've heard thousands of them from families after their loved ones have died. And of course, there's books that are written by people who have had near-death experiences or death experiences and became alive again, and they're sharing their stories, and some people aren't believing them. And frankly, I do, because I believe in the soul and that the soul will transcend this life. So thank you for sharing that, because that's been... Anytime I feel stressed out and death gets so overwhelming to us, you have to be able to believe that there's something beyond this life. I'm a firm believer of that, and my faith as well as these kind of readings, I think, can really help funeral service. Well, let's talk about funeral service just for a minute or two. You know, the future is looking different than it was back when you and I were growing up in this business. And it was maybe a little easier than it is today. We have some challenges with families not seeing value in what we do. We have some challenges with, I think, clients that perhaps are angry a lot more than they used to be. And it can be very stressful for especially young people coming in to wanting to help others, yet at the same time, feeling, you know, others are very angry or don't even want to be there, of course. And they're not choosing service at all. They're going out and doing it themselves and so forth. So what do you think are, I mean, do you have any solutions or ideas or thoughts about what funeral service really needs to be doing going forward and those of us in funeral service so that we can better help people and families and survive this crazy time we're in post-pandemic?
Yes.
It's a big question.
I have a very different, yeah, it is. I have a very different lens because my whole career has been focused on pre-need. And I did pre-need in my early 20s for some family-owned funeral homes up in Detroit, Michigan, and went into management and hired and trained and recruited folks to be pre-arrangement specialists or counselors, and then came back to work at my family's funeral home just on a part-time basis in my late 20s, early 30s, until my kids were in full-time school. And all I did was talk to people about the value of planning ahead. But in those conversations, there's not the stress, there's not the emotion, there's a lot more logic. And it was very interesting to me, especially the younger people. So people in their 50s, 60s had a whole different viewpoint on people in their 70s and 80s. And so mm-hmm. I was really able to tell the story of why it's so important to have a way to say goodbye. And I started not using things like the word funeral and casket and more like, how do you want to be honored and remembered? What are the things that are going to be important to your family to have them have a good healing experience? A lot of influence from Dr. Alan Wolfelt on those kinds of ways to say things differently, but people could still hear them. Yes. Great training from the folks at Precoa on just presenting the value of the meaning of funeral service, with the end result of let's put an intentional plan of healing in place for the people that you love, because this day will come, it will come for all of us, and we want to make it as easy as possible. And here's a way we can solve that problem. The blessing for being active pre-need since the late 80s is that we have, at least my funeral home, lots of really good services. It's very rare that we have somebody that just wants a direct cremation or just wants a graveside service.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. You planted those seeds so early on.
I would encourage any funeral personnel listening, whether you're a business owner or just someone even considering this career, that pre-need is a fabulous way to help out a funeral home and your own personal self with a very meaningful career. Now, to answer your question on the at-need side of things, when there has not been a pre-arrangement and families come in here,
right,
we as the funeral service professionals have to be able to have a conversation that is focused on helping the people that are sitting around the table say goodbye. And what does that mean to them? Now, a lot of people know what they don't want. They're real clear about what they don't want. But they don't have a clue about what they need.
They do want
to be helpful. You know, they want a party. They want some beer. Let's play some music. No, I don't want a 3-day affair and a hearse and go to church. That's what my grandma did, and it was terrible. So we have to be really creative in how we are having these conversations. And I find that if we just really let people talk for a little bit, and just sit back and listen and ask them some pretty directed, intentional questions, that you can find out what's going to be helpful to them in the first 20 or 30 minutes. And so if we can get across that value of, I hear what you don't want. Let me share with you how other families have been able to say goodbye and honor their loved one. Some people love the video tributes. You know, we have a nice gathering space. And we can just have some time for sharing of memories and telling stories. How does that sound to you? You know, so it's just a different conversation, but the end result is still that we're having a good, profitable ceremony, a send-off. My family funeral home has been a very traditional Catholic, full-on burial funeral home. And it's changed dramatically. It's changed dramatically since the pandemic. I feel like people want things a lot shorter. We want things just in the morning time and let's be done. So in some ways, the staffing becomes a little easier, but we still want to stay profitable. And more importantly, we want to stay relevant. We don't want people to go have a service at the Metro Park and not have us involved at all.
We can do services our own Metro Park.
How we're going to do it. We're going to be there. We're going to set up everything.
I love Dr. Wohlfelt's Why training. I think it was very eye-opening in some ways that we can share the why funerals are important. And whether you call them celebrations of life, memorial services, events, whatever you want to call them, or whatever the family calls them, I don't want a funeral. So what kind of ceremony or what kind of event would you like to have? What kind of gathering? I mean, there's so many different words we can use based on who we are serving today. So thank you for that. I think that's important, Megan, that everyone hears that there's still hope. And be sure that you are training your pre-planning staff. And if you're doing your own pre-planning, call Megan. She can give you some tips. She did it for years. I'm recalling you worked for Outlook, didn't you, back in the day?
Well, I started out with Trust 100, if you remember Trust 100. Right. That was Alan Creedy's company and Alan Paul Creedy. White. They were wonderful mentors to me. I mean, I had no clue what I was doing. And I'm grateful and thankful for them. And I joined up with the Outlook group in the early 2000s when I moved back to Toledo and started working just for my family funeral home. And they were a great support network. Again, I was just out doing things all by myself. Awesome. And there's power when you have people in the room that do what you do to get good ideas.
So get yourself some really good training. That's a note from Megan. The Outlook Group is now merged with Precoa. There's all kinds of wonderful different pre-need tools and training out there for you. From if I leave somebody out and I start mentioning everybody, I'm in big trouble. So I don't want to do that. But you can't miss them. They're at our conventions. There, just check them all out and figure out who has the best training for you and that can help you help families more in the future. Don't be afraid of it. I think that's a great message. That's something that will help us preserve the value of funeral service for years to come. Thank you so much, Megan, for being with us today. We could probably talk all day. I know we didn't even get to half our questions, but what you shared, I think, was so valuable, important for the future of funeral service to work on yourself, to have guided meditation, to work on your stress levels, and to make sure that you are intentional in everything you do. I think that's critical, and I want to thank you for sharing that with our audience today. Megan, if anyone wants to get a hold of you and contact you, may I share the contact information you have? It's mcoyle, C-O-Y-L-E, at coylefuneralhome.com. Yes?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Is that the best way to reach you if they want to ask questions?
The email? Sure. Email is great. We have a Coyle Funeral Home Facebook page. You can message that. You can go right to our website and click on my mugshot and it'll send an email. You can call all of our contact information is our coylefuneralhome.com. Sure. Would love to welcome any help, conversation, anything I can do. We take care of ourselves and we can take care of the world. And I feel like we can change the world, but we have to start with ourselves first. And if everyone is buzzing around, meditated, centered, present, life will be different on this planet. So there's so much hope. There's so much hope.
Good to hear that. And thank you everyone for being with us today on your Funeral Coach Talks. And Megan, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. It was a pleasure meeting you, getting to know you more. And I'm excited and the next generation behind you hopefully will do just great things because you're raising them right. And you especially have taught us so much today. Be well, everyone, and take care of yourself. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Lisa.
We hope you enjoyed today's Your Funeral Coach podcast and will join Lisa Bowie and her guests again soon. Let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear more about. For more information on future shows, please go to yourfuneralcoach.com. If you enjoyed the show, consider giving us a 5-star review. Thank you.